is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome into Locked On Grizzlies. Going to give you kind of an abbreviated post-game because it is so damn late. I'm going to be honest with you. It is about 1 a.m. as I record this. Just got back from the forum. And what a night. What a night it was. My name is Peter Edmiston, by the way. It's so late, I've almost forgotten to introduce myself. Welcome into the podcast. It was a big win, a huge performance from Zach Randolph, from Mike Conley, from Marc Gasol, from the crowd, from everyone, really. This felt like one of those very special Memphis playoff nights that come around every so often. Haven't seen him in a while, really since the probably game three when Mike Conley returned after the broken face in the Warriors series a couple of years back. This is the last time it really felt like this, where the crowd was just willing the Grizzlies on. And after a little bit of a stuttering start, everything really worked to perfection. And you saw the Grizzlies roll the dice. David Fizdale kind of pulling out the trump card and you know, saying this is it. It's go time. Start Zach Randolph. Starts James Ennis. The Ennis thing didn't really work out so well because Ennis didn't have a particularly good night. But the Zebo thing worked to perfection. And really, I mean, the truth is, that's appropriate. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, we had talked about this as the possibility of the last big stand for grit and grime, the last big stand for this core group, because who knows what's going to happen in the offseason. Maybe this is the last, you know, big stand for them. And if that's the case, then what better way than with Zach Randolph doing Zach Randolph things, Mike Conley doing Mike Conley things, and Marc Gasol doing Marc Gasol things, both past and present, you know, with now the three-pointer, you know, being added to his repertoire. I mean, the whole thing just felt like a really special night and a really important night, and one that the fans deserved. The team deserved it, but I think the fans, you guys out there that are Grizzly fans, deserve to see that. That's a fun, fantastic experience. And it makes Game 4, you know, huge. It makes Game 4 really potentially electric. And I'll tell you what, over the 12 quarters of the series so far, what we've seen are six that weren't so great, generally speaking, for the Grizzlies, except for that very first one, and six that have been pretty darn good. The second half of Game 2 and then all of Game 3 pretty much went the way the Grizzlies would have liked it to go. The Grizzlies have outscored the Spurs by about 20 points in that stretch, and you're seeing the Spurs get a little frustrated on the offensive end of things, which is a bit of a change. And, well, I mean, you know, the way this whole game, you know, the way the whole game went down, and you guys saw it. I mean, you know, Zach starts, and I talked to Zach before the game, just kind of, you know, getting the feel for, you know, where he was mentally, and, you know, just wanted to just have a little chat with him. And, you know, to say he was excited would be an understatement. The guy was, from the get-go, he was putting on his socks and shoes, you know, when I was chatting with him. And, I mean, you've never seen a guy put on shoes and socks in a more determined fashion. I mean, he was firing those things on, man. He was ready to go. And you could tell it was going to be a special night. Now, I didn't get necessarily off to the best start because, you know, starting with Zach, it was a little bit of an adjustment. And he was kind of marginalized for the first little segment of time and, in fact, was subbed out relatively quickly as the Grizzlies kind of just offensively were off to a pretty bad start. But the good news is that the Spurs got off to a bad start offensively too. So not too much damage done during that sequence. But you could tell it would just take a little time to kind of, you know, get settled in. Maybe everyone was a little too geeked up because of the energy of the crowd. I mean, David Fizdale comes out, you know, before the game even starts, and gets a standing ovation just walking out during warmups. Crazy. Don't remember seeing anything like that, but you can tell David Fizdale has cemented his place in Grizzlies lore already. That rant has placed him very squarely in the pantheon already. It's wild to see. And I saw so many people down at the forum with the Take That for Data shirts, bootleg, and official Fizz glasses everywhere. The guy has become a cult hero seemingly overnight. He was always, I think, well-regarded by Grizzly fans this year, but it's on a whole different level when he defended the team and, I think, by extension, the city in that whole thing that he did. So, off to a little bit of a rough start in the game, but then as things settled in, you could see that the Grizzlies were getting better looks and were getting more opportunities, and you know they were starting to get the feel of the game. They were starting to take advantage of the matchups that worked for them in a way that they haven't really had an opportunity to do. But the truth is, this game really turned in that sequence right at the beginning of the second half. That was the turning point of the entire game, and you know maybe the turning point of the series, depending on how things go in Game 4. You know, it's 4-point game at the half, but the Spurs have the ball, immediately turn the ball over right out of the gate. Grizzlies score on a Zebo post-up. Spurs turn it over again. Grizzlies score on Marcus Gasol 3-pointer, which was a blown coverage and a mistake by the Spurs defense. And Pop calls timeout and subs everyone. Hockey sub, boom. Across the board, line change. Five guys come in, including Jonathan Simmons, who hadn't really played. He played the very last second of the first half, but really, other than that, hadn't featured. And he comes in and plays big minutes right away. He plays big minutes for you know Kyle Anderson. He plays big minutes for those guys. And Manu Ginobili did not play at all in the second half. And, you know, everyone yanked, Kawhi yanked, the whole thing. It felt like Pop was making a point. It felt like Pop was in the mood to teach his team a lesson rather than, you know, even, I'm not going to say he kicked the game or anything like that. I think he was still trying to win. And the Spurs can put their second unit in and still have a bunch of really talented players. But it did feel like he was prioritizing making a point over really maintaining the competitiveness at that stage because it also meant that David Lee got into the game. And Lee had already been exploited a little in the first half, but what happened in the second half was brutal. Brutal. I mean, David Lee got worked over. And this was the David Lee that we all remember as being a horrible defender. You know, not the guy that was part of a Spurs team that was the best defense in the league. This was the guy that just was flat-out garbage on defense. And he got worked over by Zach. He got worked over. Mike Conley did it a couple times. It was bad. It was bad. And that really you know gave the impetus to the Grizzlies. The next thing you know, you look up and it's a double-digit lead. And then on you know touching 20 points by the time the third quarter came to an end, the Grizzlies scoring 31 points in that quarter. And at one stage, you know, before they missed a couple shots towards the end, but they had scored, you know, 29 points on 14 shots in the first 10 minutes or so of the third quarter. Those kind of efficiency numbers team wide are crazy. But you saw, you know, Wayne Selden and Andrew Harrison hit back to back threes, which was huge for the Grizzlies. And Selden in particular deserves a mention and deserves great credit for the way that he played, and he went a long way towards helping Grizzly fans forget about comparing him to Troy Williams and you know, reminded Grizzly fans of you know kind of the pointlessness at the end of Tony Douglas being on the roster. Selden made a difference. Defensively, he made a difference against Kawhi. And I asked him about it after the game, and he said, I'm just trying to stop him. I'm not giving anything away. I asked him what the secret was because he's been doing a good job physically. against Kawhi. If you watch the matchup, he's done a surprisingly good job hanging in there against Kawhi, considering you're dealing with the guy that was in the D League 6 weeks ago and an MVP candidate. And I think he's more than holding his own in the matchup, but he just didn't want to give away any secrets just yet. So that sequence in the second half really changed everything. And then by the end of the third quarter, it was, you know, garbage time, more or less. Pop was ready to wave the white flag. Grizzlies did not let up on the intensity, did not allow the whole thing of bringing in the second unit right away to kind of distract them. They just went plowed right ahead and kept going and won the game comfortably. So now you have a situation where the Grizzlies have figured something out here with this Zebo group. Zebo, Mark, Mike, it is working. And it wasn't just about playing harder in game two, although that was part of it. It was they were finding things out, and they are able to keep Zebo out there, and he's not being exploited on the defensive end because of the Spurs, just kind of the way their personnel groupings work. They're not able to really take advantage of him. If they had a little more effectiveness from, you know, some of those role players, if they were able to space it a little more effectively, but they really haven't been able to do that much in the last game and a half or so, in part because their shooting has diminished a little bit, and in part because the Grizzlies have done a better job of staying connected defensively and keeping those rotations tight so that it's not quite as easy to get the ball over to the open man when they make those moves, and when they help, it's been better, you know, in that way. So those things have really helped to kind of keep Zebo out there and allow him to stay out there. And then on the offensive end, you know, he's done Zebo stuff, man. He dunked. He's hit some really tough shots. He showed a lot of those post moves that we've seen for years and years and years. It was classic Zach Randolph. The question is this real? Is this a real thing that the Grizzlies have found? Or is this a situation where the Spurs have kind of been caught off guard and have dropped their level a little bit, but as soon as they crank it back up, the Grizzlies are back in trouble? We'll find out a lot more about that answer in game four. I do think that it's pretty amazing that the Grizzlies over the last six quarters have basically turned the ball over seven times. They had a couple of late turnovers in this one that were in garbage time, but I'm not going to really count those because they don't matter in the scheme of things. In the minutes that mattered, the Grizzlies have turned the ball over seven times in the last 72 minutes of basketball. You know, that's a remarkable number in playoff terms, and also in terms of playing against a team like the Spurs. And the Spurs, you know, are not necessarily, you know, they're a very solid defensive team. They don't necessarily do a bunch of, you know, cherry picking, going for steals, things like that. But they certainly can force turnovers. And, you know, for the Grizzlies to be as efficient offensively and also as careful offensively as they've been has really given them an opportunity to stay in the game, to come back in the case of game two, and to really keep the Spurs at arm's length in game three. They didn't do anything stupid. Didn't allow the Spurs back in. If you saw a couple of, you know, transition baskets, things like that, then that could have cut that lead pretty quickly, maybe moved the momentum over. Never happened. Never happened because the Grizzlies were really taking great care of the ball. I thought the game was officiated a little bit differently from one half to the other. I thought for the most part the referees didn't play a huge role in the game. I think they were a little more strict and called a little bit more in the second half, which I think did benefit the Grizzlies. But overall, I don't think a major factor. The fans were certainly on the referees from the very beginning, though. And you know, that may have made a couple of those little questionable calls, a couple of little iffy calls go the way of the Grizzlies. It was a very But it took till the second half to do it. In the first half, the refs were booed off the floor. Just flat out. Because the Spurs only picked up one foul in the entire, second quarter. Part of that was the way the Grizzlies played, but also, that's a little bit ridiculous. But didn't matter in the end of it. And now the question is how much does this carry over? And are the Spurs wounded by what happened? Are they actually in a little bit of trouble? Or is this just a situation where the Grizzlies had their one shining moment, had a great game, got everything to work really well, but the Spurs will come back and snuff it out and stifle them again and win game four? If that's the case, then the series will be over soon enough. If the Grizzlies can win game four, though, and I know the crowd is going to be insane. There's so much going on downtown Saturday before the game, and then you get to the game and people are going to be, nice and liquored up and going crazy and all that. I do think if the Grizzlies win game four, this is now a series, and it really is like the hallmark of that Clippers series in 2013 when the Grizzlies ended up going to the Western Conference Finals, when that game they started off losing game one badly, nearly won game two, then really won and were pretty comfortable throughout the rest of the series because they kind of figured out an effective way to go after the Clippers. I didn't think that was the case going into game three, but the way that kind of went down and the way that the Spurs really folded up shop pretty quickly in the game and never got anywhere close to being back in it makes you think that maybe there might be something there. Maybe there might be a little something they found with that Zebo lineup that is going to frustrate the Spurs a little bit. That remains to be seen. I still don't think that's the case, but I'm more open to the possibility that that's true based on what we saw in game three, because it wasn't just dominant, but it was sustainably dominant. There were things that happened. You saw it. Wayne Seldon's not going to have a game probably as good as that, but it wasn't so amazing. It wasn't like Wayne Seldon had 25 points or anything like that. He had 10 points and hit a three, a couple threes actually, and played good defense. I think he probably won't hit the threes again, but he can certainly play good defense. I think he can give you, he had that crazy dunk. He can do that. He's very athletic. I think it's mostly a little more sustainable than some of the other things that could have happened. So I think you can count on at least a decent effort from him. And really, didn't have to play Mike Conley that much, and I'm surprised by that too. This game really surprised me, but in a very good way, because this was a big time performance from the Grizzlies, and they were rightly proud of what they did, and David Fizdale especially was proud of what they did. But now we'll see tomorrow. Game four going to be absolutely crazy. If you don't have your gear, you got to start. And you got to start quickly. Go to GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies. Start there. GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies. Because when you go there and you sign up for that box, you're going to get some great stuff. You're going to get great stuff monthly. And I know Mark was there. Mark of Mark and Courtney fame at the Grizz Essentials brand. He was there at FedEx Forum with the rest of you guys having a great time. Being part of the action. So go and check it out. Again, GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies. You want to support the pod. You want to support the Grizzlies. You want to support local folks. It's fabulous. The shirts are great. I saw somebody in one of their shirts, as a matter of fact, when I was up walking to my seat. I saw somebody in a shirt from Grizz Essentials looking very, very good in the process. It's terrific. Check them out. Again, they do local stuff, local people, local things, really supporting local folks. It's awesome. Check it out. GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies. Grizzlies will practice later on today as they kind of go back and watch some film from game three and set things up for game four. And also then, of course, game four will be on Saturday. We will talk about that over the weekend. And I may have a special pod for you over the weekend. Depends on timing and everything else. But if I can, I will. I would love to try to do it for the playoffs. So we shall see. Just keep refreshing that that pod program. But in the meantime, I want to say thank you guys for joining me. I hope you enjoyed this somewhat impromptu edition. Went a little longer than I thought, but there was a lot to say about what was a very special game in Grizzly lore. Grizzlies win it over the Spurs down at FedEx Forum, 105-94, behind an epic performance from Zach Randolph coming in for the start. Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, they combine for 66 points on 24 of 43 shooting and really comprehensively beat the San Antonio Spurs. We'll talk about game four when we get a chance. But in the meantime, have a great Friday and a great weekend, everybody.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.